This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon. We are at the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. You are listening to The Pulse, 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web, WTPLFM.com. It is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And up next, we are going to be talking with Linda Ditch of Kansas. You can check her blog out there and backagainfood.com. And welcome, Linda, back to Food for Thought.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me back on this week.
Awesome.
Nice to see you. Happy autumn.
Yes, I'm glad it's here, though. It's been in the 80s ever since, you know, all week. So it doesn't feel too much like autumn yet, but at least it's not 90s anymore. So that's good.
Yes, I agree.
But yes, I miss New England. This is, you know, this is one of the times of the year that I miss living in New Hampshire, probably more than any, other than maybe winter when you're getting snow and people are around here walking, you know, walking around with flip-flops on sometimes. Because it gets cold in the winter here, but it can have its warm days. That's kind of scary. So,
no, it's been it's the days have just been perfect. Just, you know, 70s, nice little breeze, sunny. It's been really, really nice.
But have you noticed? You talked about the cold weather. Have you noticed that even on the coldest and snowiest days, a lot of UPS drivers are still walking around in their shorts?
That's true. I guess when you're working that hard. When my sister used to play basketball when we were younger, she always, you know, middle of winter went to practice in, you know, heavy coat and everything, wearing shorts, you know, and wore shorts all the time. So maybe the legs just don't get as cold.
Yeah, but when you grew up, didn't you always make sure you had enough warm clothing on when you went outside? And now you see people, generally it's young males, who will have a short sleeve shirt and shorts on
all the time
on a 12 degree day with a wind chill of 30 below zero.
And then on a hot day, they're wearing long sleeves
right.
or a sweater.
Their
I'm
hoodies.
Telling you, it's really weird.
Have hoodies on and the stocking caps and everything.
It's true.
Gotta look cool. You have to look cool no matter what, right? But
so,
I guess especially high school kids, I guess they have a little more stamina than some of us older folks, right?
Definitely. So what have you been cooking up?
Well, I have on the blog right now a recipe I call a ham and tortellini sauce.
And ham and tortellini what? I'm sorry.
Ham and tortellini toss. Like you're tossing a ball.
Toss.
Got it.
Ham and
Thank
tortellini
you.
Toss.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
And what
Sounds
is,
good.
Yeah, well, what's nice about this recipe is it takes 30 minutes max. So you can bake it on a weeknight. And also, you know, it's nice and creamy. Think Alfredo sauce kind of, you know, thing.
Ooh.
And, but you know, but it comes together very quickly. And so it works for a supper on a nice cold night when you're, you know, you've had a long day and you just want some comfort. And, you know, maybe you're tired, a little tired of mac and cheese, though I don't know anybody who gets tired of mac and cheese. But maybe you want something different. Here you go. Because all you're doing is you put some tortellini in a pot with some chicken broth. And it's funny because you only use 2 cups of chicken broth, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it works. So you have to trust me about this one. But you boil your cheese tortellini in the chicken broth, and while that's boiling in a skillet, you melt some butter and put in a little garlic, throw in a little flour to thicken up, and then you add a little milk to thicken it even more, and a cup of really good grated Parmesan cheese to thicken it even more, some ham, and I like to put cheese in mind, but you can put baby spinach or you could put broccoli in it. And then when the tortellini is all, you know, just cooked, not overcooked, you pour the chicken broth and the tortellini into the pan too with it all. You mix it all together and it gets bubbly and thick and rich and silky, and there you go. And then you've got dinner. It's all dinner. You put them in a bowl. You could have a salad with it, or you could just eat it because you've got your vegetable, you got your meat, you got everything all in one bowl, and it is so good.
That sounds pretty good. Sounds like something that I really shouldn't be eating.
I just gained a pound and a half listening to this.
I know. I'm hearing butter and cream and garlic and...
But there was some broccoli,
tortellini.
So there,
there
you
was
go.
Some broccoli.
Yeah, she had to ruin it by putting something healthy in it. What's with that, Linda?
Well, you know, you have to have your veggies, right? So you put them wherever you can.
Well, it truly defines comfort food. I mean, if you're going to talk about something that's going to get you through the winter and make you look forward to dinner, maybe on a Saturday night with candlelight and a nice bottle of wine, that might be something to consider.
Well, and what's nice about this one, I mean, when you think of, like, a mac and cheese recipes or even standard Alfredo recipes, yeah, they do. They're made totally with cream or milk or something like that. Where this one, actually, the most liquid comes from the chicken broth you cook the tortellini in. So it does lighten it up a little bit. I'm not going to kid you. This is not something you want to eat, you know, massive amounts of at a time. But truthfully, a little bit of it is filling. It's comforting. It's warming. So, you know, a little bowl of it, you know, if that's your heavy meal for today, you're good to go. So, but the chicken broth does lighten up the sauce a little bit, so it's nice.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Make sure that you cook more than you need for dinner, because something like that is probably better even as a leftover. I hate to say it, but there are so many things that are so much better the second or third time around.
True.
Which is what I did. I made it one day. When I worked on the recipe, I made it one day, and I had the leftovers for lunch the next day. And you're right. They microwave up very nicely. So they are. It was just as good the next day as it was when I made it. So, and I put cheese in mine. Like I said, the original, the recipe is what a friend of mine gave it to me. And I think the original was like a Pampered Chef recipe, and I've tinkered with it, of course. But the original had baby spinach in it. So you could put baby spinach in it, but I just never have baby spinach around, you know, so that's why I did went with, because I always have frozen peas, and I lots of times have broccoli. You know, you buy those veggie trays that have all the different things on it, and broccoli is always the one that's left. <Everybody's done. laughs> Well, you know, I usually just saute that up or, you know, zap it in a microwave or something, but it works well in this dish too, but you could add sugar snap peas in there or snow peas. You could add any vegetable you want. You could bake it. You could leave the ham out if you wanted and just put vegetables in it.
No. In fact, along those lines, talking about broccoli, yesterday I actually made pizza for the show. We have something called a pizza pizzazz, which is just this mind-blowing rotating heat thing that actually cooks a pizza beautifully. And as I saw the
picture on Facebook.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, as I was considering the ingredients, Carol, I didn't tell you this. I went to the store the day before, and I actually went to the salad bar because I didn't feel like buying, you know, huge amounts.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah, for dressing a pizza.
For sure.
Very efficient way to do it. And so what did I pick out? Here's what I picked. Now, the pizza ended up being bacon, roasted pepper, and what else did
corn.
I have? And corn. Yeah, there is shaved corn. So what I had actually selected was pepperoni and broccoli. And when I got home, I said, no, I can't put broccoli on a pizza. What was I thinking? In my best Jerry Seinfeld imitation, what was I thinking? The broccoli Nazi in me took over. So instead of broccoli, I chose bacon.
Of course.
I think that was the better choice.
Yeah, no complaints from anybody.
No,
so
no, not at all.
That was fun.
Not at all.
You know,
what's
funny, though, is there is a pizza place down in Willimantic, Connecticut that makes this potato pizza.
Oh,
and it's got,
really?
And the pizza, it's got kind of the sauce is a, like a, I want to say, is it cream cheese? It's almost an Alfredo-y sauce kind of sauce to it. Well, actually, maybe more like a sour cream kind of sauce, And then it's got sliced potatoes on it, sliced red potatoes. And then they put bacon and they put broccoli on this pizza. And they put, you know, of course, cheese on the top. And it is one of the most amazing pizzas ever. My friend lives down there and she got them to give her the recipe. But when I tried to make it, they didn't taste the same, so I'm still working on that one. I want to make that one.
Wow.
But it
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, she would come up to visit from Connecticut, and we were like, bring the pizza!
You know who does a mashed potato pizza also is, I'm pretty sure it's mashed potato pizza, is Common Man.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. I want to say that they do that.
A mashed potato pizza. That sounds good.
It's with mashed potatoes. They also do a mac and cheese pizza, too. That I know for sure. And I'm pretty sure they have a mashed potato one, too. But anyway.
That's just crazy. It is.
I
mean, it's crazy enough I'd try it.
Of course you would. In fact, as soon as we hang up in a couple minutes, you're going to run out to the kitchen and make yourself one.
Well, yeah, I'm going to figure that one out. That's true. No, actually, I'm working the next recipe that's going to go up in the blog early next week. I'm going to be working on over this weekend is one for an angel food pie. Carol, have you guys ever made angel food pie at the Red Arrow?
No, never.
Well, it's funny. My mom and I went to a little tea shop in a town called Coal Camp, Missouri, and it's near the Lake of the Ozarks. And they had angel food pie on the menu, and my mom got a slice. And it is the most unique, amazing pie that I've had. And I mean, it's different from anything you would think of. And it's not like an angel food cake middle, but it's this light egg white vanilla, you know, whipped middle vegetable. You just don't feel like you're being bad because you're eating pie.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, did you say it's like a meringue, or is it the traditional angel food cake sponge type of presentation?
Yeah, it's made similar to a meringue, but it doesn't taste like meringue. And that's why I got to figure this. It makes you think of an angel food cake.
Interesting.
But it doesn't have like the flour to it that would give it the cakiness. But I don't like. Yeah. I have to test this out because I've never had anything like it before. So
there's actually a dessert from New Zealand, and the name is escaping me right now. But it's very similar, but it's without the crust, and it's made in almost a round cake shaped form, and it's got a little crustiness, but it's made from egg whites and sugar, and then on top you put kiwi or any kind of fruit that you want. You just load it up with fruit and then a little bit of whipped cream, and it's not many people make it here. Barb figured it out a couple years ago, so it sounds like it might be a first cousin of the angel cake pie.
Well, is that a pavlova that you're talking
That's
about?
That's it. Thank you, pavlova. Fantastic. Have you ever made one?
No, but I've wanted to. But this is different because you don't bake the filling.
Mm-hmm.
You make the filling on the stovetop, and then you put it in the crust, and then you refrigerate it. So I mean, you're not going to get that crustiness that with a pavlova. Mm-hmm. You're basically baking a meringue.
Okay.
That shape you mix up. It is almost exactly a meringue that you whip up and you shape it on a piece of parchment paper on a baking sheet.
Yep.
And then you put it in the oven, a low oven, until it bakes through, and then you put fruit on top.
Yeah. That's right. Very low temperature, and it's because when we bring it somewhere, nobody's ever seen it before, never even heard of it, and I'm ashamed that I couldn't remember the name of it. She's been making it for about 5 years. She actually made one chocolate pavlova one time. She just took some baking, some chocolate baking powder and mixed it in with the other ingredients, and it was really good.
Well, now that you say that, the people I've seen it done on television, and it's usually done by European chefs, British chef or something. So maybe it's a European, of course, and then, of course, Australian dish, and maybe it's just not as popular here in the United States.
Nice. Well, Linda, thank you. It's always fun to talk to you. We're always learning things. I bet I see one of those pies in your future. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're going to check it out.
Yes, I'm definitely going to have it tested out and put it up next week. Hopefully it'll work. I'll have to figure out something else.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
Have a great weekend, Linda. Go
you
Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. Chiefs, go Pat.
And tell everybody your blog again.
It's There and Back Again Food at www.thereandbackagainfood.com.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Linda. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We are going to go on break. Our green room is packed. We are going to come back with Cheryl Indelicato. She is the owner of Handcraft Wines, as well as Dr. Cherie Prentice. She's a nationally known author, When Everything Changed. She's also a public health expert. And also Nicole Broussard-Jordan of the New Hampshire Liquor Commission. We're going to be tasting some wine. So stay tuned. Our studio will be packed. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Our studio is jamming right now, as well as the green room. And we are joined with New Hampshire Liquor Commission. We have Nicole Broussard-Jordan here with us, and we're going to talk about an event that's going to be happening tonight. And we also have Cheryl Indelicato of Handcraft Wines over in Monterey, California. Welcome. As well as Dr. Cherie Prentice. She's a nationally known author, When Everything Changed. You're also a public health expert and a breast cancer survivor. So welcome all of you to Food for Thought.
And, Thanks for having us.
We have some lovely
wine out here. Introductions out. Let's drink. We've only got 25 minutes, and I see about three bottles out on the table.
We'll have to drink very quick.
Noon, right?
we should probably start with Nicole and let you know the reason everybody's here and the event that's happening in Concord tonight, because it is certainly worth noting.
Absolutely. Well, the event is happening at O Steak and Seafood. It's from 5 to 7 p.m., and you are going to have these two lovely ladies that you're going to hear on the radio here shortly speaking, and you will be able to sample the handcraft wines as well as tasting some wonderful hors d'oeuvres prepared by O Steak and Seafood. And it all is to benefit New Hampshire Breast Cancer Coalition.
Yeah, October, of course, so we're a few days before, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it's nice to see that particular cause just getting bigger every year to the point where we're actually celebrating or observing it before October starts. So you're kind of getting a jump on it here.
We are. You know, it's really wonderful because Cheryl's group has been helping breast cancer survivors with funds from this brand for a number of years, and she'll talk about how much money she's raised. But we're lucky enough to have business partners that think outside the box, so when they have a buyer like me that says, gee, I really want these funds to stay local, can we do something? And Cheryl was all over it. She said, absolutely. And I said, can we have this wonderful Dr. Cherie come to New Hampshire and do events that are outside of the walks, something a little bit different?
Yeah.
And last night was unbelievable. I've got to say, she's an amazing speaker. So if you buy tickets tonight, it's only $25.
So you can still get tickets.
You can still get tickets.
How much?
Only $25.
You're kidding me. And what does that get you? Besides the inspirational words?
The wine, the food, the inspirational words, and mix and mingle with them after the inspirational words. It's really a wonderful cause. And all of the $25 goes directly to the New Hampshire Breast Cancer Coalition. As well as, we're selling wine, of course, for the 2 months.
Sure.
So portions of every bottle that we sell will be going to the Breast Cancer Coalition. And Cheryl, because we're so confident in how much we're going to sell, is giving a check to them tonight.
Well, regardless of what happens, right?
And it could be more.
Oh.
But we know we're going to sell a certain number, and they're getting a check tonight.
So nice. Cheryl, what is your welcome, first of all?
Thank you, Cheryl Indelicato.
The wine label is handcraft, and I have got a Petite Syrah in front of me, which I can't wait to try. So why are you connected to this particular cause? What makes you, when there's so many things that I'm sure you're hit on to support?
Well, I launched Handcraft Wines back in 2012, and I feel part of Living Well is Giving Back. And my platform, because my grandmother was a breast cancer survivor, and I'm also a registered nurse, I wanted to be able to get back to breast cancer research, awareness, and prevention. So for the last 3 years, we've donated over $230,000 and to the cause, national as well as local grassroots efforts. So when Nicole put the call out, it was like, well, of course I'll come back and I'll help you, because I really believe that when the funds stay local, it really champions the community to support it and to come out. And we really had that last night. I mean, lots of guests came out, really were brought to tears from not only what, you know, I do, but of course the words that Dr. Cherie said as well. So that's the reason why I do it. I mean, I feel like when you have an opportunity to help others, you receive so much more than what you're just giving, because people see it and they want to give, and it just kind of like expands exponentially. So that was really my reason. And my brand, I'd always wanted to create and craft my own wine brand. I'm a third generation vintner. We're celebrating our 91st harvest right now. There's six generation three family members that work in the business. We all kind of do our own thing. You know, my cousin's the CEO. I do hospitality. I go around the country promoting handcraft wines. So, I mean, it's a good thing. It's very, very rewarding for me.
So we're talking $250,000. Pretty much up to this point.
Right, and not just giving money. I mean, I'm also hitting my feet to the pavement.
Yeah.
I've walked over 220 miles and the Susan G. Komen three-day 60-mile walks. And that's where I met Dr. Cherie.
And Dr. Cherie is a physician, and her book is When Everything Changed, My Journey from Physician to Patient. And what a journey it was, and I assume it's from those experiences that the heart-rending stories were told. But, Doctor, you knew even as a child that you wanted to be a doctor, so you were already on that path to understanding what you as a doctor, but the tables turned when you were diagnosed.
They did. You know, I've always wanted to be a doctor ever since I was 2 years old. So I went to school, I trained, I studied, I was a physician for about 15 years, and all of a sudden, in the midst of a divorce, raising two teenage daughters, my mom was terminally ill at the time. I just happened to one day be performing my breast exam, as I usually do, and lo and behold, I found a lump in my right breast, and it turned out to be cancer. So I ended up undergoing a partial mastectomy, 15 rounds of chemotherapy, 33 treatments of radiation, and throughout that time, lost my mom, did what I could with my girls, and got through treatment, and about a year later, ended up developing lymphedema, which caused significant swelling in my right arm, hand, and fingers. And now I have to wear compression garments pretty much 24/7 in order to control the swelling. And as a result of the lymphedema, I now cannot perform the clinical functions of my job.
Yeah, you were in occupational rehabilitation or therapy. You
occupational medicine physician.
Neurology initially, though,
neurology
right?
initially, and
right.
then I decided to specialize in occupational and environmental medicine. So pretty much I'm a workers' comp doc. I deal with every state and federal acronym you can think of, OSHA, DOT, IDPH, EPA, right? And I loved what I did. It was absolutely fantastic. And to have a vision of when you were just a little kid of always wanting to be a doctor, and to now, after 16 years of practice, not be able to practice, I felt that everything had been stripped from me. You know, my mom is deceased. I'm now a survivor, but now I'm surviving to do what? My ministry has always been giving back in healthcare. So what do I do now? And ended up participating in a Susan G. Komen three-day event as a walker, as a survivor. Loved it. Said that I wanted to do what I could to bring an end to this disease, some kind of way, spend the rest of my life working towards it. Lo and behold, they put out a call looking for a new national spokesperson just 4 months after I participated. I was on the call. 568 applications later, they offered the job to me. So this has now been my fifth year as the national spokesperson for the Susan G. Komen three-day.
Shark Tank, you had to go.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You had to tell your story, and the person that won was the one who got more tissues to come out of people's pockets, right?
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
It is a heartwarming story. And did you not also have a brush with heart disease, or is that what the conditions that you're referring to, right?
No, I did have a brush with heart disease. Actually, after my third round of chemotherapy, I was at home alone and developed crushing chest pain. And I knew that it was heart attack capacity. I'm a physician, I know. So, you know, most people who want to live, you dial 911 and you get the help you need. Well, instead, I climbed up a flight of stairs, pulled out my life insurance policy so it'd be easy for my ex-husband to buy. Said my prayers and went to bed and just knew that I was going to wake up in paradise. I just knew it. 6 hours later when I woke up, I was so freaking depressed. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? I still have to live? Really? But then I was rushed to the hospital and they found out that I was born with a congenital anomaly where my right coronary artery was being squished between my pulmonary artery and my aorta. And the chemotherapy was making the constriction even worse. So my right coronary artery was 80% blocked. Easily could have had a massive heart attack. Cardiologist tried to put in 22 different size stents. None of them worked. and only less than 1% of the population in the world has this condition, so they really don't know how to treat it. So they kind of just gave me some medications and sent me on my way.
Can't go to WebMD and look that one
up. Not at all. But you know, when you consider your mom, your best friend dies, and you're there going through chemo, and you're the one who pronounces her. Right. You're the healthcare professional that's there and pronounces your mother. Yeah. You live through breast cancer, and then you live with this condition that you don't know how bad the stenosis, the blockage is going to be. You could have a heart attack. You cannot. When you get through all of that and you realize I woke up today, obviously I have a purpose in my life, and the purpose in my life is not for me. It is not for what all that I could attain, all that I can gather. It is for the very people that's sitting in this room. It is for everyone that's listening to my voice. I am here for service. And that service is sharing my story, sharing my life, and trying to make a difference in everybody's whose life I touch. If I do, I've lived out my legacy. I have left a legacy, and I have lived out my purpose.
I can see why 567 other people didn't get the gig. Well, why do we take a quick break?
I'm just speechless.
Well, I know.
We need
to
take a break.
Let's take a break, and then maybe we can sample a little bit of wine.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds
great.
Nicole, are you good with that?
Oh, I'm good.
Do you need to see my ID?
Oh, I think I'll let you slide this time.
No.
Coming from the commissioner, that's a really big risk.
All right.
All right, we're going to go on break. You're listening to Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are in our studio is packed. We are in studio with New Hampshire Liquor Commission. We're here with Nicole Broussard-Jordan. We're also here with Dr. Cherie Prentice. Just an amazing story. Nationally known author, When Everything Changed, physician, health expert, breast cancer survivor. I mean, it just continues. As well as Cheryl and Delicato of Handcraft Wines in Monterey, California. And, you know, you talked about your story, Dr. Cherie, and she talked about wearing a compression band. And I didn't even notice it because I thought you had a glove on because it's all bedazzled. I mean, it's even bedazzled.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's a very nice fashion statement. I thought, well, she's a very fashion, looks like conscious, well-put-together woman. I thought this
definitely.
Is just, and I'm glad I didn't make any kind
when
of comment
that,
about
I'm
it.
When she said that, I'm like, what is she talking about? And I'm like, oh.
Well, you know, I figured if I have to wear it, I might as well bling it out. Raise awareness and look cute
for that.
You know, hey,
you're rocking it, Doc.
There we go. Thank you.
I like that. Rocking
it, Doc.
Yeah.
Rocking it, Doc. All right.
Ooh,
uh-oh,
yes,
I'm going to add that to my website.
Oh, no, I'm trademarking that one. All right. So, Cheryl, why don't you tell us what you have brought along for us to try today?
Well, our first little libation is a little handcraft Pinot Noir. And we have vineyards in Monterey, and this comes from San Bernabe Vineyard. There's a little Sangiovese in there as well that we grow in Lodi, California. So we have properties in Monterey and Lodi, and then we also have a winery in Napa called Black Stallion on the Silverado Trail. So this is a beautiful wine that just with that touch of Sangiovese just brightens the fruit. There's that beautiful strawberry, cherry, vanilla. Mm. And softens the tannin.
Yeah.
You know, when I made these wines with Alicia Sias, our director of winemaking, I really made them to be enjoyed with or without food. So, I mean, even though we don't have anything, little morsels that we're eating here in studio, it's still pretty yummy. So a lot of mm-hmms and mm-hmm.
I got some two-hour-old mac and cheese if you're
oh,
okay.
Oh, doesn't that look good,
complete
Mike?
With a little cocktail weenie fork.
Yeah. He's
we'll
so
pass.
Good to his guests. He's so good to his guests. We'll definitely be coming back.
Thank you for noticing, Cheryl. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
This was, as I understand, a good year for wine, or at least for grape production.
Absolutely.
Weather-wise.
2013. Yep, 2013 was a great year. We had a good-sized harvest. No complaints there. Absolutely. So, and you can tell what's in the glass. So that's what we want because we want repeat customers coming back to all the stores here in New Hampshire, picking up a bottle of the handcraft wines.
It is delicious. It's light and refreshing. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. And I usually like Cabernet and a Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I didn't know I didn't like Pinot Noir,
right?
Because they'll say, oh, I thought it didn't taste like much. And I said, well, it really is, depends on where it's grown. It's the word terroir kind of like says the soil and just the environment that the grapes were growing in. And what we did to them when we get them in the wine cellar, and there's about a year of French and American oak on this particular wine.
Now, but before I realized the doctor's story,
absolutely,
as a breast cancer survivor, is that we have a doctor coming in. My first assumption was, before I dug a little deeper, is we were going to talk about the advantages of red wine in terms of heart health,
right,
which I don't see why we couldn't weave that in a little bit right now. Maybe,
right,
doctor, you could address that just a bit.
Well, you know what? Red wine is very rich in resveratrol. And resveratrol is an awesome, awesome antioxidant that truly helps to heal and protect the cells of your body. And the cells that we're most concerned about, especially when you're dealing with any type of chronic illness and or cancer, is the immune system, your stem cells, where everything starts. And resveratrol is an awesome, excellent antioxidant that allows the cells to stay healthy. And the new ones that are coming on, they rejuvenate in a way that they're more protective. So drinking this Pinot Noir, and I we have a Petite Syrah, and then Handcraft also has a Cab. You know, I always tell all of my neighbors and my friends, here's to my health and yours. Literally. Literally.
And I know there's some other foods that, just to branch off a little bit, dark chocolate has been found to have, I think, similar beneficial effects as well, correct?
Absolutely. So, again, when I'm having my dark chocolate for my dessert, and someone wants to make a comment about, you know, my dessert, I have to say, this is to my health. Don't worry about my hips.
I'm going to have to use that one because I love chocolate.
Yes, yeah. And dark chocolate is awesome. Mm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what really makes for me Handcraft such an awesome brand, not only has Cheryl taken the time to create a wonderful portfolio of wines, but she has managed to create a brand that to me is getting known for inspiration, is getting known for help and health. If you look at her label, now you see her new label, she also has the sustainability mark on it, and she also has the breast cancer emblem. Handcraft is not just about creating a fabulous wine, although she has been quite successful at doing that. It truly is about having an individual that when you share a glass of Handcraft wine, you are hopefully sharing a vision of like-mindedness to want to bring change to the world, to your family, to your community, because you know that when you purchase a bottle of this wine, a percentage is going back to help someone potentially all across on the other side of the country. Possibly when I purchase a bottle in Chicago, some of my funds are going to go and help individuals like the New Hampshire Breast Cancer Coalition. Because Cheryl does not discriminate on where the additional funds go, and she really wants to put it in the hands of a local organizations as much as possible. And for her to be in California and have the ability to impact lives here in New Hampshire, how wonderful is that? How many other brands can you say take the time to get out on the road and to educate individuals and to pump them and to prime them about service, about commitment? She does this with her distributor. She does this at the stores. How many people, you know, go out there and go beyond just selling a great, fantastic brand of wine, but say that I want to sell a brand that means life, health, happiness, and inspiration?
And by the way, it's also good for you.
Besides, oh, my goodness,
besides
yes.
Besides the inside-out feeling of helping.
Correct.
Bring awareness and hopefully a cure someday. That's something
and
we
that's,
all
that's
strive
right.
for. But it's the words of a Dr. Cherie that really gets people thinking about it because you are so very engaging. Nicole, let me ask, New Hampshire Breast Cancer Coalition, I think that's, isn't that the Nancy Ryan? I believe she is.
It
the,
is. She's
right?
the president.
She
Correct.
Is. She's also amazingly inspirational. I know she goes to Washington a lot and does lobbying and just, she gets out there and she walks the walk and talks the talk as a breast cancer survivor herself.
She definitely does. And last night she opened up last
oh,
night.
Oh, she was there? Okay.
Yes. And tonight we will have somebody else that's on the board for the Breast Cancer Coalition there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to accept the check and everything. Yeah.
We should mention once again the location for those just joining in. We still have a couple minutes, but just so we don't forget the event tonight, where, when, and all. And the price, you can't beat it.
You can't beat it. Mm-hmm. O's Steak and Seafood. You can go there this evening and see these two wonderful ladies and sample some handcraft wines as well as some wonderful hors d'oeuvres prepared by Scott Ouellette and his team.
Scott's awesome.
He is absolutely
love
awesome.
Him.
It's only $25, and you can purchase tickets or you could buy them at the door, but you could go to handcraftevent.ticketleap.com to get your tickets. I would encourage people to try and do that early. And like I said, we will sell some at the door. And last night we ended up with standing room only around all the chairs that we had already knew we had consumers coming for. So we oversold last night. We expect to do the same tonight.
And what time is that at?
It Nicole? Starts at 5 and it ends
five.
At 7.
All right.
Although it didn't end at 7 last night.
No, of course not.
They stayed
still
and
going
they
on.
Wanted to talk to her. And Cheryl, they yeah. worked the room for a very long time after.
I'm going to be so excited to go visit the New Hampshire State Liquor Store. It's right next door to one of my establishments in Londonderry,
yes.
Red Arrow Diner. And I always go in trying, you know, I never really know what to buy. I mean, I will be buying handcraft wine. I am
well,
so
I appreciate
excited.
Hearing that.
I am so excited.
Right.
I really am. And to pass the word. And, you know, how were you feeling when Dr. Cherie was talking about, you know, about your wines and what you do and how it impacts people?
Well, she always inspires me no matter where we are and where we go and how many times we see each other throughout the year. It's always an event with Dr. Cherie. You know, there's nothing really calm.
Let me say how surprised I am to hear that.
Yeah, it's not like a quiet tea party or anything like that. No. No, she's just been awesome. And I met her on my first 3-day walk and, her next, you know, stop was in Georgia and my next stop was in Georgia and she came to an event that I had and we've just been fast friends ever since. So we stay in touch and it's kind of like having a sister that even though we may not see each other every day, we kind of know where each other, it's like we catch up. How's your daughter? You know, Dr. Donald, what's he doing? Where's he at? And so it's really wonderful. But I know we had that little petite Syrah on our glass.
Yeah, give us the profile
delicious.
On that.
Yeah,
again.
And Carol just kind of downed her over here. Poor little yeah. thing. She's probably thirsty.
Here, have some
Would
more.
You like some more?
Yeah. Have some more, Carol. Just like sideways.
Thanks, Mike.
So that's okay.
Very good. Thank
the petite Syrah
no,
is
consumption.
I like to say it's anything but petite. I mean that
yeah,
beautiful color. Carol is swirling her glass yeah. right now as I speak. So there's a beautiful blackberry blue. Absolutely, but you can see that color in there.
And look at the legs.
Yes, look at the legs. And they're not talking about Dr. Cherie's either. I'm talking about in the glass. In the
oh
glass.
My.
I was.
Oh, my. Hello.
Now. Hello.
Let it be known that I didn't say that, okay?
And so in each of the handcraft wines, there's an Italian varietal. And the Petite Syrah has just a dash of like 2 to 3% of Zinfandel, which is kind of something unique and different. It doesn't take away from the varietal characteristic. Just as we enjoyed on the Pinot Noir, there was a little touch of Sangiovese that we grow in Lodi. So when people enjoy these, it's like, wow, the smokiness on that Petite Syrah really goes down easily and enjoyed. So thank you so much for having us here in studio. It's been a great feat, and I hope to see all of you tonight at the O's Steaks and Seafood in Concord.
Concord, 5
Cheryl
o'clock.
Cheryl Delicato, so Dr. Cherie Prentice, Nicole Broussard, New Hampshire Liquor and Wine Outlets. Fun, inspirational, and all for a great cause with great wine. Ladies, thanks to all of you. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Up next, Kale and Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow.